The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then you will stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. We are in a series of hard sayings for several weeks here in the Gospel. We hear Jesus say hard things, things that people really wish Jesus had never said. And it's a reminder sometimes, you know, not everything Jesus ever says is going to be printed on a pastel holy card, or etched in marble, or immortalized in stained glass. The Gospel last week was hard. Do you remember that? Jesus says, "You think I've come for peace? You think I've come for unity? I've come for division." Gospel next week is hard. Gospel the week after that is one of the hardest Gospels of the entire year. And certainly this one's no exception. In which we hear Jesus reaffirm his unequivocal and certain teaching that there are two and only two eternal destinations for the human soul after death. Either eternal fulfillment in the kingdom of heaven, or eternal torment in the underworld of hell. And people say, "Hey, wait a minute, what about purgatory?" Purgatory's temporary. We're talking this week about that which is eternal. And people don't really like it that Jesus said that. A lot of people pretend like Jesus never said that. Others never think about the fact that Jesus said that. And still others know Jesus said that, but they try desperately to make it sound like Jesus didn't say that. As if you could read the Old Testament and the New Testament and conclude anything else, you've got to use all kinds of smoke and mirrors and every kind of literary subterfuge to try to avoid the obvious conclusion that that's exactly what Jesus Christ has told us, and he said it many times. So you know what we're going to do here this evening? It's really simple. Our goal is to understand this subject the way Jesus Christ understands this subject. That's all we're going to do. I'm not going to be up here this evening to try to drill the fear of hell into you or to fill you with anxiety. There's probably nothing new that you're going to learn that you haven't heard it said before. But if we can understand this very important subject with the mind of Jesus Christ himself, we'll call it a success. You ready? Here we go. Every day, they say that about 150,000 people die, on average. All across the world, how many people die every day? About 150,000 people die every day. Here in developed Western countries, about 90% of those people die from some kind of complications of old age, and they die in some kind of institution or in some kind of hospital. Now, you know that's not the case all around the world, where there's people dying from childhood illnesses, or the scourges and ravages of war. But regardless, 150,000 people every day, that's a lot of people. You ever stop to ask yourself the question, where do they all go? 6,000 people an hour, give or take. 100 people every minute. Where do they all go? I turn the question around and ask, where do you think they all go? What do you think? You know, there was a British research group called YouGov, and they did a poll on that very subject. They asked people, where do you think you're going after you die? Do you think you're going to heaven, or do you think you're going to hell? And before I tell you the answers, I bet you can guess what most people think, right? This is what the results were. 89% of all men surveyed thought they were going to heaven. 94% of all women surveyed thought they were going to heaven. That's all fine and well. You think whatever you like is totally your business, but you'd be wise if you tempered your opinion based on what Jesus Christ himself has actually said. And it shocks people when they realize that Jesus happened to say the exact opposite of that. That was no surprise that, by and large, people think everybody's going to heaven, because our church leadership, for the past several decades, has seemed to hammer that point into us as if to say, don't y'all worry, we're all going to heaven, we're riding on a great big toboggan. Right? And nobody goes to hell except for maybe Hitler. But then you listen to what Jesus himself actually said, and he said the exact opposite. He said, wide is the path that leads to destruction, and how easy is the road, and how many they are who travel it. But how narrow is the gate that leads to life, how hard is the path, and how few there are who find it. Have you ever wondered about the comparative population statistics of heaven and hell? You ever wondered who goes where? This is the week for you, because a man walks up to Jesus and asks that very question. He says, Lord, will only a few people be saved? Now, before we listen to Jesus' answer, let's first strive to understand the question. Because the question arises from a debate in Jesus' time among the Jewish people. And some of them thought that every descendant of Abraham was going to heaven. That's all it took. You had to be one of God's chosen people. You're all going to heaven. Well, others said, hey, wait a minute. What about all those generations that the prophets condemned? You know, like Moses and the generation with the golden calf, or the generation of Sodom and Gomorrah. Or how about Noah and the generation of people in the time of the flood? Or the people who lived in the time of the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the ones that are condemned by the prophets. And he turns to Jesus and he says, hey, good teacher, what's your take on this subject? Now, to understand Jesus' answer, first understand this. Jesus Christ is not the slightest bit interested in indulging your idle curiosity. In answering this question, he has one intent and one intent only: to get you into heaven. And so Jesus says, well, the kingdom of heaven is sort of like a banquet. And you know how it is with a banquet. You invite people you know. You invite your friends. You invite your family. You invite your relatives. You invite your kinsmen and honored guests. You hold a banquet in your home. You don't invite people who you don't know. And that's why you are going to be so surprised when you come to the gates of the eternal banquet and you are going to find the master of the house turn to you and say, I don't know who you are. Scriptures say, I don't know where you're from, and I won't get into this at the moment, but that's a euphemism. He says, I don't know you. And they respond, oh, but Lord, we heard you preaching in the streets. I could have sworn we were standing on the same street corner when I listened to you preach. And Jesus is going to turn to them and say, I don't know who you are. Go away. Depart from me, you evildoers. Now, You know, one of the most important lessons on this, counterintuitive thinking. We've got to learn to think like Jesus thinks. Counterintuitive thinking is that proximity to Jesus Christ doesn't mean anything. Just ask Judas Iscariot. Spent 3 years following right in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, his feet covered with the dust of Christ's sandals, and of him, Jesus once said, better for him that he never be born. Just being close to somebody does not guarantee a relationship. How many of you all even know who your neighbors are? A lot of people, they don't even know their names. And yet there they are right next to you. And people falsely think that, you know, all they have to do is they just show up in church every once in a while, and somehow that guarantees closeness to Jesus Christ. The hinge on which this whole thing turns is this. This is counterintuitive. Closeness to Jesus Christ, an establishment of a relationship with him, depends on your willingness to do his will. Now, that's assuming, you know, you're not in mortal sin. That's assuming you're baptized. Subjects that we'll talk about at another time. What people fail to realize is that your relationship with the Lord hinges on your ability, your willingness to do his will. St. Bonaventure, he once said, you learn a lot more about the Lord by doing his will than you will by studying about his will. And it's our Lord himself who said, who are my mother? Who are my brothers and sisters? The one who does the will of my heavenly Father is mother and sister and brother to me. And if you love me, keep my commandments. I'm the vine, you're the branches. We're alive with the same life. And this is one of the questions that we want to ask ourselves every time we show up in church. Listen, it's great that you're here. Don't get me wrong. But what are you like 5 minutes after Mass is over? You know, back in the seminary, somebody once asked, what's the most important part of the church? And there's one seminary, and he raised his hand, and he says, the doors. And I said, why the doors? And he says, well, because that's what you need to take everything that you've learned inside this building out into the world where it belongs. Does that describe you? There's an old poem, you might have heard this before. It says, Mr. Smith, he went to church, he never missed a Sunday. But Mr. Smith, he went to hell for what he did on Monday. So you got to ask yourself this question. People have a wrong opinion here. You know, they think that getting into heaven is like a transaction as if you're holding a ticket to a theater. A mercenary exchange. Look, I said my prayers, I showed up in church, I even gave the bishop's letter of appeal, so Lord, you owe me. It's not like that. Heaven is a state of belonging. In fact, you could put it this way. Heaven is the state of belonging completely to God, made permanent and eternalized. And hell is the state of rebelling against the Lord, made permanent and eternalized. I like the way St. Catherine of Siena once said it. She says, at the moment of judgment, you will see who you are and you will fly to where you belong. That's why it's so important that we understand what our Lord said. He said, strive to enter in. Are you aware that with every choice you make, you are making yourself more or less fit, more or less belonging to the kingdom of heaven? Sometimes people will come to the priest and they'll say, why doesn't God just, you know, take everybody up out of hell, put them all into heaven? Wouldn't that be nice? You want to know why? Because it all ran out the doors. That's why. Heaven is the place they've been trying to get away from with every fiber of their being. Heaven is the place of self-forgetfulness and putting other people first and humility and the love of God. That's what heaven's made out of. They would run right out the door. Strive to enter in is the only answer our Lord can give when people ask him this question. I heard the image for what it means to strive. Let me share this with you. Image goes like this. Picture this, you're drowning at sea. You say, help, help, I'm drowning at sea. Suddenly a boat comes by. Somebody throws a rope to you. You hear this voice says, grab the rope. And you grab that rope, and you hold on to that rope all until they pulled you out of the sea and into the boat, and you turn to them and you say, "Thank you, you saved me." Now, in that image, the rope is Jesus Christ. The one who throws the rope is God the Father. The voice that says, "Grab the rope," is the Holy Spirit inspiring the best in you. But guess what? None of it matters for anything if you don't hold on to that rope all the way to the end. And this is what it means to strive. I'm going to never fail, even when I fall, to get back up again, to put God's priorities first and not my own, the priorities of the gospel first and not the priorities of this world. That's what's going to get you into heaven. And now do you know why Jesus answers the way he answers? "Lord, are there many who are saved?" What a useless question. Can you imagine somebody going to a teacher? "Teacher, are there many people who get A's in this class?" Teacher says, "Don't ask me that. Do your homework." Somebody shows up to their coach and say, "Hey, coach, are there many people who get physically fit?" Coach says, "What a useless question. Hit the weights and eat your salad." And people ask Jesus, "Lord, are there many who are saved?" And Jesus says, "You're certainly not going to get into heaven by asking me that. Because if an angel from on high were to descend right down here into our church and say, 'St. Teresa Church, I got great news for everybody. We're all going to heaven.' Except for just one person. And you heard those words and you decided to start living your life by the seat of your pants, guess what? You would become that one person. And if an angel from heaven were to descend down from on high and say, "St. Teresa Church, I got some bad news for you all. You're all going to hell." Except for just one person. And you heard those words and you tried to keep God's commandments and you turned away from sin, you would become that one person. How important it is that we hear these words and act on them. Strive to enter in. That's all we can do. They say life is like a coin. You can only spend it once. That's why I'm so fond of saying, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.